statesman with opinions differing from this station.
To hide. Get out from under the safe bed there.
I'm here. I'm here, and I ain't gonna let you out of my grasp.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, take it up there, Baker. Yeah.
Oh, I can't miss this movie. Did you see this ad here? You're gonna have to see this movie. Listen to the advertisement for it. I didn't see the picture. I don't know where it's any good, but what a fantastic ad. Listen. Give me a little echo chamber. Today, the pond. Tomorrow, the world. The frogs. I'm sorry, ma'am. Oh, God. Today, the pond. Tomorrow, the world. The frogs. Listen, that's no joke. Everywhere you look, nature is striking back. Did you see the picture? It shows a guy's hand sticking out of a frog's mouth. Nothing like being eaten up by a frog. I'll tell you this. I've always been afraid of that kind of stuff happening. In fact, what was the one I saw late movie one night where it had these gigantic, enormous ants? Yeah. Did you ever see that one? The ants that ate Los Angeles. Yeah, they came over the desert, and the next thing you know, this old simple farmer, see, he's walking up the side of a hill, and you see these two big feelers coming up, fantastic feelers. He turns, and at that last glance, the last view he had of life was an enormous mandible. Is that what they have? Do they have mandibles? 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 This giant mandible is closing down on him, and he screams, Oh, my God, that's terrible. Listen, there's mysterious stuff going on. Mysterious stuff. Did you read? Oh, no, I better not. It's so early in the week, and the kids are so impressionable, and there's probably kids listening. I don't want to read this to them. Did you read about the lady and the snakes? Oh, listen, did you hear about that? Listen to this, Atlanta, Georgia. It's happening everywhere. There's snakes all over the place. At Claudine Jackson's home in southwest Atlanta, she's found them in the grass, under the bricks, discarded lumber and tin cans, and a concrete culvert. She's got a kind of a nice yard, doesn't she? 90 snakes were found last week, and 37 of them in the first 3 days of this week. I found 3 in my house, she said. I don't put my shoes on in the morning without shaking them out first. I don't go out in the backyard without a hoe. Mrs. Jackson called Director Charlie Fleming at a state museum, and in a 20-minute visit, he caught 17 more snakes. Fleming had no explanation for the abundance of snakes in Claudine Jackson's house. Nothing but snakes.
Oh, we've got a lot of scary stuff for you tonight. And are you sure you want to listen? That's what I thought. Now, look, if you'll just tune right on down the dial, you'll find this great station that is featuring such music as this. You'll love it. Yeah, this is Tom. Sing the sheep and rugby. Your love belongs to me. At night, when you're asleep, into your tent, I'll creep. The stars above the shine. We'll on our way to love, ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da. You'll only play with me, yeah, baby. I'm the chief of Araby. I'm the chief of Araby. That's scary stuff, so keep it up there for you. Speaking of scary things, we got a commercial here. The exciting action-packed New York Nets go roaring at the round two of the ABA playoff against the Virginia Squires. The home games against Virginia will be played at the new Nassau Coliseum, Hempstead Turnpike, and Uniondale, L.I. Tickets can be purchased at the Nassau Coliseum ticket office or at any Ticketron location, just like the Big Gene Shepherd Show. Tickets are $8, $7, and $6, and $3 for students under 18 who don't understand much. The games are scheduled for the week of April the 16th, so get your tickets now at the box office of the Nassau Coliseum in Uniondale, Long Island, or any Ticketron location. The ABA playoffs. Boom, ba-dum, boom, pow. Anybody that uses a red, white, and blue basketball better win. That's all I gotta say. Cut it out there. Well, that's a commercial. It's for just clowning around, and you can appreciate this when I listen to your stories of the mysterious or ridiculous, especially the one about the evil hand in the swamp. Things that happen in the swamps. All those experiences have happened to me. Anybody who has never lived near a swamp has missed a great part of life. He says, well, what bugged me was that in English class I wrote a work, a very definitive work, on the destruction of those wild wetlands where I used to enjoy playing. Those great areas are being filled in by garbage dumps, which abound here on Staten Island. They call them landfills here. Proposed expressways and all other projects of house building. Not that I'm really opposed to such projects. I mean, what are you going to do anyway? But I'm quoting this kid. But what irked me was the following statement uttered by my English teacher. We quote, listen, kid, I couldn't give a damn about some stupid, ugly swamp or marsh that you hicks out on Staten Island want to keep. By the way, how do you come to the conclusion that swamps are beautiful, kid? His teacher said that. Is obviously this man had never experienced the fear of sinking into marsh mire or being caught in the middle of a great swamp when the sun has set. Oh, yeah, let me tell you. Oh. He says, being the Brooklynite that he is, I might excuse him for this ridiculous, ignorant statement. He says, but regretfully, I doubt if in the ultimate sense his ignorance can ever be corrected or even excused. Yours truly, a spy from the land of disappearing swamps. Special message to kids who have never lived in an area where there are no swamps. Kid, you have one great area that you will never learn about existence, truth, evil, death, life, and the mysterious emanations that come out of the great void. I think every kid should grow up living next to a swamp. In fact, I'd like to suggest to the FAO Schwartz Company that they sell a portable swamp. I mean, you know, you can put it together. It has a little quicksand in there, and you can grow your own mysterious rushes, and you have a stuffed owl, all the various things that live in swamps, including an evil clutching claw that reaches out of the quicksand. Enough. That's the editorial for tonight. Thank you. Why do they put these editorials on the show? I agree with Billy Rose. Who was Billy Rose? The only thing, I'll tell you who Billy Rose was. He's the guy that wrote, does the spearmint lose its flavor around the bedpost overnight? He did. Does the spearmint lose its flavor around the bedpost overnight? And all these and other philosophical questions are brought to you by this station, WOR New York. And we're here ready to answer any of your problems. Let us know what your problem is. Give me a little sneaky Portuguese music, will you please, Herb? I don't want that kind of music. Give me some Portuguese music. Yes, friends, if you're going to take a vacation in Europe, you listen to Big Chief here. Go where the Europeans go. They know, man. And where do they go? Portugal. Oh, yeah. And the TAP, the Intercontinental Airline of Portugal, they have the perfect way for you to enjoy everything. From their fantastic ancient castles and quiet countryside to their fado music. And you'll have to find somebody to cling, you know, to holding hands over a little glass of rosé when you're listening to that fado music. They don't supply that, but you'll find it works pretty good in Portugal. They have a two-week royal treatment tour of Lisbon, the Algarve, and Madrid for only $409 a person. Oh, man, call them about that. That's 2 weeks royal treatment. And this is going to be the year, friend, that Portugal becomes the first country in Europe to visit. So get on the shtick. And by the way, these tours include round-trip economy airfare. So call your travel agent or TAP, TAP, for complete details. That's TAP, the Portuguese airline. The number in New York is 421-8500. Yes. Take a European vacation. What's the Europeans do in Portugal? Come, my dear. Come, Brigitte. We shall go to Portugal, the Algarve. That's a silly way for me. Stop it, Herb. Stop it. That's enough. Now, you've heard some old Portuguese music. How about hearing some old plugola bugles? Hit them bugles. This is genuine commercial plugola bugles. And a special announcement now. Through April the 29th, buy 3 General polyester core tires and get the 4th tire free. Wow, yes, buy 3 General polyester core grabber tires. Whoa, at the regular low selling price. And you get the 4th General grabber. Free. And remember, you get the 4th tire free. Come on, Baker. Yes, get over to your General Tire dealer and look up that sale on the Grabber 4-ply polyester cord. The 4th tire comes free, and it's the home of the big General Red Tire G, your one-stop car care headquarters. Hey, we did it. Whew, boy, that's exciting. What do you look so worried about? I made it. That's going to work out. You know, speaking of... We're going to do them all here at once. I think it's kind of nice here. Let's see. We got Costa del Sol. We should have tied this in with the Portuguese Airlines. But if you can't get the Portugal friends, you can pretend. You can sit there squatting on your linoleum in your kitchen at home in the Bronx and open a fantastic bottle of Costa del Sol. Costa del Sol is the sunshine wine. It's imported from the south coast of Portugal, where the sun shines 350 days a year. And those other 2 days, it almost comes out, producing the finest rosé grapes in the world. And by the way, Costa del Sol is the only Portuguese wine, table wine, to ever win a gold medal at the international contest in Budapest. And oh, those Budapestians are really mean on wine. So this is a good one. So you look it up, friends, and you can get it in a great big 23, 24, and it's a great big buy. You can get the half. In fact, you can get the party size half gallon if you really want to throw a real party. That's Costa do Sol, C-O-S-T-A, Costa, D-O, duh, Costa do Sol. Sol is French. No, Sol. You remember old Sol. Used to sell those wonderful hot dogs with the sauerkraut on them out there outside of Shea. Yeah, you remember Sol? Big Sal Fabucci. Always insert the tagline. It says Costa do Sol Vintage Wines Rosé. It's a rosé wine imported by the Allens of M.S. Walker, Inc. of Boston, Mass. Okay, that's enough of that. Now, you know, speaking of scary things, I mean, I'm just reading this story, the frogs. Did you see this, did you see the ad? If you look back in the, you know, each newspaper, when it's got, you know, the ads for movies and drive-ins and all that jazz. Well, there's a declining area where at the top, you know, you start with the really top first flight movies. You know, it says, once in a generation, we are privileged to present George C. Scott in another Academy Award-winning presentation. You know, there it is. You know, that's way at the top of the page. And then you slowly sink down to the bottom, see? Way down to the bottom where you got these smudgy ads. And there was a smudgy little ad the other day out of a Jersey paper about a Jersey show. I almost went over to see it. You know what it says? It showed this real evil-looking thing looking out with two big bulging eyeballs. Fantastic eyeballs with the... You could see the veins in its eyeballs. And it's just some kind of evil-looking thing with two giant claws reaching right out of the page. And the ad said,
At last, you have seen evil monsters on the screen. You have heard the evil monsters on television. And now, at long last, the monsters come right out of the screen and right down into the audience and grab you.
Hold it there, for crying out loud. We get ourselves right out there. You give an engineer an inch and your level of feedback right out of this, right out of the solar system. But, you know, that was exciting. The monsters jump right out and grab you in the audience. And what they're really having over there is a barely controlled orgy. I don't know what they do when they grab you, but they... Wherefore art thou, Aldous Huxley? Bum, bum, bum. Oh, yeah. You know, I'll tell you, though, there's all kinds of fantastic things that are flying around the world today. And I think that in general, when you watch plays, you know, you watch movies and stuff, you don't see stuff that comes anywhere near the reality of life. I mean, today, some stuff is so fantastic. So many things happen. You know, about like the lady with 97 snakes in her yard. Now, there is a real... That's right out of... Well, that's better than anything you ever see on the Rod Serling. Has it ever occurred to you that Rod Serling is probably the oiliest, most oleaginous announcer who ever lived? Pure Vaseline in a yard wide. But that's, you know, it's all right. You know, after all, it's a, you know, probably a hobby. But we have here... I read this piece and I thought to myself, holy smokes, this is a secret thing. This is... so much of life takes your own secret desires and carries them right all the way out to the ultimate end. Listen to this story. How many of you have seen this? And the minute I read it, I thought, oh, God. I remember a thing that happened to me one time, which I will never forget. I mean, in very much the same connection, but I didn't have the kind of guts that this guy had. Listen to this. Van Nuys, California. It would be California. See, everything spreads, you know, it comes this way, back, you know, sweeps over you like a great big vast wave of Karo syrup. You're going to be drowning in the monsters. Van Nuys, California, a 28-year-old man, has pleaded innocent on a charge of firing four shots at his dentist when the doctor struck a nerve while probing the man's throbbing tooth. You got to see the scene. Picture it in your mind. Come on, picture it. This guy's laying there in the seat. You know how they sit in the seat. You all been in a dentist seat, right? In a chair. They're seeing you tilted way back. And he's got this big white light over him. And the doctor says, let me know if this hurts you. And he starts with that little thing. Smoke. You know that smell when he's grinding you up? You can actually smell you, the marrow of your bones being burned up in the hellfire of damnation. Wow, 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 wow. He's boring right down into the center of your skull with that evil machine. And here he had the guts to tell you, just let me know if this is hurting you. And now he's halfway to your pelvic region. And he's drilling on and on. Wow, 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 wow. Oh, God. Oh. Well, we got to salute. We've got to salute him tonight. The patient, Tommy Watts. Let us all salute Tom for what he did tonight. He appeared yesterday for arraignment in Superior Court, where he was accused of chasing Dr. Reb Scott out of the dentist's office under a barrage of pistol fire. Chased him right out of the office. According to testimony given at the hearing, the incident happened in the following way. Watts appeared at the dentist's office last December for what the dentist had expected to be, and we're quoting the dentist here, a routine extraction. Watts, an unemployed nursing assistant, was in considerable pain, and Dr. Scott gave him Novocaine to deaden the inflamed bicuspid. After waiting about 15 minutes, the dentist testified, he returned to Watts and began to probe the tooth with one of those little, one of those little walnut picks that they use, and he's probing. But the tooth wasn't yet numb, and Watts told him so. We're quoting Watts at that moment when he got the thing stuck down in his gut. After another 15 minutes and a second shot of Novocaine, Dr. Scott tried to probe again. At this point, the patient went... That is censored. He began to swear loudly. He cursed at me, Dr. Scott said. I told him, I don't have to take this abuse from you. You go to somebody else. With that, I pulled a nut pick out of him, and then the dentist left Watts, and his tooth throbbed and looked in on another patient who was in the next office. He returned in a few minutes to find Watts still sitting in the dentist chair. I thought I told you to leave, the dentist said. I hope this tooth don't hurt me again, came the reply. And I hope I don't have to come back. I'm going to kill you. Watts then pulled a .22 caliber pistol from his pocket and fired repeatedly at the dentist. Pow, 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 pow. While the other patients scrambled for cover or froze in their chairs, Dr. Scott raced through the waiting room, down the hall, and out into the street. Watts was close behind. He fired a total of 4 shots at the dentist, missing each time, which he blamed on the Novocaine. Police arrested Watts 10 minutes later. Watts' attorney said he believes his client has a good case. Part of Watts' defense at the trial will be the fact that he was in pain and he was under the influence of Novocaine. Hold it there. What a scene. You know, I'll tell you one time, though. I am sitting in... Did you ever have a wild scene like that in a dentist office where you were just around? You know, dentist offices are very dramatic places. In fact, I've often thought it would make a fantastic TV, a real TV series. See? We've had so many TV series about doctors. There must be 5,000. I just bet that of all the subjects that TV has covered, there are two subjects that there have been more serials on. I'm talking about regular continuing series on than all the others. I mean, you know, the oat burners. I mean, I'll tell you, there's more cowboys have walked across that tiny 18-inch screen. More cowboys walked along there spitting and hawking and yelling and jumping off and on horses than all the movies ever combined. That and medical movies, medical shows. I mean, you know, Marcus Welby. I wonder whatever happened. You remember that great doctor? Who was the great doctor who was always mad? Who was the one who was always bugged? He seemed to hate medicine with a fantastic hate. Who was that? And Suzanne Plachette was always showing up with strange diseases like, what was it, the great disease she always had, the tularemia? Well, she had lupus. Yeah, lupus, which is a rare disease that's often afflicts wolves, I understand, lupus. You know, that's the lupus glupus or something. Yeah, what it does, makes you walk pigeon-toed. It's a strange thing. And that she was always affecting them. And in fact, I wish they would treat some of the really great rare diseases. You know, there's a rare disease, and it's a pretty bad one when you get it, I understand, that afflicts the nervous system. Did you ever hear about it? Any of you doctors out there know what this is? It's a disease that afflicts the nervous system that causes the patient to involuntarily, constantly utter loudly foul language against it. Yes, I'm not kidding you. There is such a disease. He cannot help himself, and it's a nervous disease. I'm not kidding you. I'm not. I'm really not. Any doctors out there? If there's a doctor out there, give me the actual name of that disease. There is such a disease, and when you got it, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, you just sit there, bah, 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 you bark out these fantastic four-letter words, see, no matter who you are, what you are. And they have a devil of a time curing that. I mean, they try everything, you know, like washing out the guy's mouth with soap, and it doesn't work. And what is the name of that disease? Is there any doctor out there listening to this?
Come on, I really want to know. I'm not kidding you. There is such a disease, and if there's a doctor listening, get out the old textbooks and let me know. And while you're doing that, speaking of books, we have a commercial here, and that's a special offer from Citadel Press, 222 Park Avenue South. And it's all about a new book, what goes on backstage at a big Broadway show, The Making of No No Nanette, about all the envy, the anger, and the frustration behind the hit musical. And it tells plenty about the tragedies that surrounded Busby Berkeley's Hollywood career. Yes, indeed, about Ruby Keeler's youth in the world of speakeasies and so on. And every one of this, I don't know, I haven't read any reviews on it, but they say here, it says it's a good, enjoyable book. And if you're hip on Broadway musicals, you'll like The Making of No No Nanette. It's now in the bookstores at $7.95, but this week Citadel Press is offering it by mail to WOR listeners for $5.95. And listen to this one. If you rush your order, your copy will be personally autographed by author Don Dunn to you or a friend. Make checks payable or money order to Nanette Book. And on the back, write how you want the autograph to read. Address Nanette Book, Box 904, FDR Station, New York, 10022. And that offer expires Sunday, April 30th. Sounds like everything's going to end April 30th. What is this with April 30th? Everything's over April 30th. Well, I don't know. Maybe these advertising agencies know something. You know, they tell me a lot of these ad agencies have great metaphysical powers. Well, I've been in some very spooky ones, I want to tell you. Oh, yeah, where there's a little guy squatting in desks looking like Buddha, wearing great beards, sitting there with moons, with the peaked hats and moons on their head. It's always, usually it's the art director that's doing that. Yeah, Dickie's running around. Oh, I've got the most wonderful idea for the cover this week, Charlie. Yeah, they're exciting crowd. Wear these burlap neckties and the curly shoes. Well, I mean, six of one, half dozen of the other, you know, you pick it up as you go. But come on, is there any doctor out there who knows the name of this disease? Now, come on, I'm asking a serious question. Because maybe that's why your cousin Fred has such a filthy mouth. Maybe he's got this. That there is a disease where the victim has an involuntary, he can't help it, an involuntary vocal tic, they call it, where he barks out foul language, four-letter words, really does. And it's a bad disease. You know, it's no joke when you got it, I suppose. I mean, especially if you're running for office. But nevertheless, in certain neighborhoods, that'll get you a lot of votes. Of course, things are changing today. I wonder when the first candidate's going to go all the way, you know, and he's going to candidate on the lusty ticket. And he's going to parade around, you know, with a bunch of porny movies and a couple of strippers and then, you know, really go all the way. And of course, showbiz is getting there. But I'm serious. Here comes, we're getting a report from a doctor now. Here, we'll have it to you in a minute in case you're worrying about that. And while you're worrying about these very serious matters, which I'm sure all of you are, don't forget now, we've been getting deluged with calls. Please don't call us here about the Princeton show. But every year at this time, we do a big show. It's a benefit, like, for WPRB, which is the college radio station at Princeton. You know, these stations are not, they're always struggling. And, I mean, you know, to buy a new turntable is a major thing there. And so we're going to do a big show for WPRB, which is the Princeton radio station. It's the last big Jersey show that I'm going to do this year. And it's going to be this Saturday, the 22nd of April, at 8:30 p.m., and it's going to be in Alexander Hall, which, as I've often said, is just always hits me as a fantastic place to sacrifice a virgin in or something, you know, and have some strange mystical rites. It really does. It looks like the hall where the Hunchback of Notre Dame took his undergraduate work. I mean, it's a very spooky place. It has cobwebs all over it. So this is your last chance to see the Silver-Tongued Devil in New Jersey this season. And guess who that is? I'm wearing my green bikini there. We're going to do the whole thing. It's going to last, you know, the last show. It's spring. It's going to be groovy. And it's going to be this Saturday at Princeton, WPRB. And if you want to, you know, scrounge around for tickets, you can pick tickets up at the Princeton University Star, which is a 36th University Place in Princeton. Okay? 8:30, Saturday. That's it. One show. One fantastic show. Now, did you get that? I wasn't kidding, right? Right, smart guy? Everybody in the control room was laughing, right? Shepard does not fool around. I am smarter than the average ranger, believe me, friends.
And we are getting the name of that evil disease. Here it comes. And it has a very long Latin name. And if you get this, oh, ho, ho, you're going to be kicked right off the bus for using profane language. Yeah, it's La Fouchette's disease. And you should have heard the mouth on La Fouchette. Yes, sir, La Fouchette's disease. It's no joke. Did a doctor call in? La Fouchette's disease. And I wonder if there's any doctor out there. Well, that would be a fantastic Marcus Welby episode. You know, kindly Dr. Welby is called in, and he walks in. There's this nice little old lady with blue hair, you know. She's you can just see the kind who she lives and breathes by the Reader's Digest and loves Lawrence Welk. See, she comes in there, little old Ma Appleby, see? And so he comes up to her bed, and he's got this kindly look on his face. And he says, please, Ma Appleby, where does it hurt? And her son, who is this, her distinguished-looking member of the State Assembly, sitting next to her, he says, shh, doctor, don't ask her that. He says, where does it hurt, Ma Appleby? That's all right, I'm Dr. Welby. You can say it to me. Where does it hurt, Ma Appleby? And with that, she goes, wait, I'll kill you, sonny! Quack, 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 quack! Instantly, the fantastic rating goes up. Guys are calling each other. This is Marcus Welby's ready at long last. Got an interesting case. You ought to hear that, old pal. And then finally, Marcus Welby's face gets creased with concern. And he says, I'm going to have to stay by her bedside day and night. Don't allow anybody in to hear her or to see her because she has been stricken by a rare disease called La Fouchette syndrome. That'll be continued next week when they'll do Son of La Fouchette. It's a very exciting disease, but that is true. Now, I was not kidding. That is... Well, I'll tell you, the only reason I brought this up is a doctor called in, right? He gave us this. Now, I'm not kidding. It's La Fouchette's disease. And during the course of that disease, the patient, the victim, is hit by an uncontrollable bad mouth, what it boils down to. And he just yells stuff out that curls your hair at 100 yards. In fact, he says words he never heard. I mean, it's true. And when La Fouchette's disease visits you, you'll know it. Bad. And it's catching, by the way. Terrible catching. Catching from drinking glasses, toilet seats, and that's just bad news. So steer clear of that. Steer clear of that. Now, you know, you gotta approach life. You got to be realistic at times. You do. You really do. Realism does not play much of a part in our life. But once in a while, you just got to strip aside the curtain of sham, rip aside the silver screen of fantasy, and step into the world of reality, right? Yeah, well, I guess that's true. Yeah, that's true. Oh, well. Six of one, half does the other. you notice how loose? I'm as loose as a goose now since I've been taking off the New York Post list of radio highlights. I'm a... Poor Bob Williams. He's such a serious man. I mean, the only way you can become a highlight is to do a serious discourse on drugs and poverty. That way, at that point, you become a highlight. What's that? Wait, we're getting another note. Yes, how else do you become a highlight? Yes? Violence in the streets. That's very important, too. But you got to approach it the right way. Oh, yes. You cannot be a law and order candidate. No, sir. You'll never get Bob Williams' vote at that point. Bum, ba-dum, bum. Well, I'll tell you, though, in spite of not being a highlight, I think I'll live through it. I remember, though, speaking of, I keep thinking of this fantastic scene with the dentist, and I think it would make a great TV series, can't you? Can't you really? I can see the opening scenes. It opens up, see, with a camera looking directly into that light, you know, the big swirling light. And out of the light comes, comes this name. See, it says, "Bring me the theme." The comes theme. Out. Come on, hit the theme. Boom.
Gone
Gaunt, Kluberman, DDS. Creative orthodontist. And of course, the opening scene, you see Gaunt Kluberman wearing his beautifully cut and tailored white high silk, you know, this high collared white coat he's got, see, and it's got DDS and gold things all over it with the. By the way, that friend of mine, a doctor, he said, this is one of the funniest little insights, you know, you get into the world of the doctor. This friend of mine, he got his final degree, see, and he became an MD, and he was going to go off to work as an intern, see, he's going to go through and go to become an intern for a year at this hospital. And he said he didn't know what to do, see, because he graduated and he was all ready to go. And he said he did the worst gauche thing you could ever do. So he was all excited about becoming an MD. So he went to this place where they sell these great coats, you know, fantastic white coats with a high collar, you know, the button over to the side there. Well, you know the kind that guys like, Marcus Welby wears those a lot. In fact, the one who really wore them a great deal. Have you noticed how many doctors are mad, angry about being doctors? They look real mad on TV all the time. And who was the one that was really mad? You remember him all the time? Come on now, we'll ask your questions. That's right, Ben Casey. But who played Ben Casey? That's right. Vince Edwards was bugged. He either hated medicine or he hated his agent. I couldn't tell which. He was mad all the time, see. And he was always bugged, but he had these great jackets. So my friend, this doctor, see, he went out, and he had seen a lot of TV shows. He was very heavily influenced. And so he went out and he bought himself a fantastic jacket. And it had, you know, the medical, you know, the symbol of the medicine thing there with the snake and all that stuff. See, and it was all done in worked gold. And, he wore this beautiful tailored jacket. See, and he put it on, and he says he'll never forget. He'll never forget the day he wore it. He said it was a terrible, emotional day because it was the first time, you know, the first day he was really going in. He's an MD and all that stuff. And he goes into to this room at this big hospital here in New York City, a big hospital. For the argument's sake, we'll call it Bellevue. See? And he goes into the doctor's wardroom there, you know, in the waiting room. And he puts on his great, big, beautiful new jacket. A fantastic. It had wasp waist. It had all gold all over it. And he had a beautiful gold-plated stethoscope, which his mother gave him when he graduated. And, he was really all excited. See, he had a special leather, a lizard skin leather case for his thermometer. He had it all stuck in his, and he's waiting. And in comes this raunchy-looking doctor. I mean, he had been peeling bunions off of people for 45 years. That he had seen it all, you know, and he came in and he took one look at my buddy. And he just looked at him. And he says he's wearing these rimless glasses, and he just looked at him a good long look, and he said the following line, "Oh, la, la. Ooh, la, la." And he turned and walked out, trailing the scent of chloroform behind him. This raunchy doctor, my friend, was embarrassed. Because he realized he did the most unhip thing. So he went out, you know, and he got himself this old jacket that the guy wore at the Shell station. He put it on, you know, and he come in. And at that point, nobody said a word. And so you see, friends, everywhere you look, there are little ins and outs you can do to make yourself more professional. Bring it up there, Big Herb. And so tonight's episode of A Creative Orthodontist has brought you the case of the Creeping Bridge. Can't you see Suzanne Plachette showing up with a bad underbite? And it's all right. Don't worry about it. We got plenty of time. Anytime you want to bring it in, you just bring it in. Don't worry about it. Because the way it is here tonight, I could go on all night, you know. I really could. It's one of those bad things. Speaking of of great moments in medicine, I was sitting in a dentist's waiting room one day, which I always remember as a kind of one of those great moments of life. I'm sitting in the waiting room there, seeing I'm reading the last decades National Geographic, see? And, by the way, what would the National Geographic do without bare-bosomed ladies who live in the center of New Guinea? So I'm sitting there reading this magazine, seeing them, trying to concentrate on the romance of the White Nile or something, see? And all the while I'm having, you know, I could just feel this throbbing pain. I got to go in there and see. And I can hear the dentist in the next room. And it was very quiet. It was just a quiet thing going. You hear a murmur of discussion going on in this darn bank bar. Then there was a long silence. Apparently the doctor was really working at this point. It was a long silence, and then all of a sudden, without any warning, I hear... crash! I heard something crash, a fantastic crash. And the doctor come running out. See, I know, I said, what's the matter? He says, he kicked my new tray over. Look at, he busted all my stuff. And I said, oh... You know, so I didn't know whether I was on the side of the patient or on the side of the... I heard the patient, and he's crying, and he comes out. He said, I'm sorry, doctor. He said, I couldn't help myself. I just kicked out like that. He just kicked out. You hit me on the nerve. And what had happened, his feet flew out, and he kicked his tray. And it was a summer day, and all of this guy's stuff, the tray and everything, just went right out the window, 11 stories down on the 57th Street. Now, I don't know what happened, but all these guys are driving around down there, all these nut picks and stuff flying out there, you know, these x-ray plates and stuff. It was one of the great moments
in the history of a great city. Yes, Manhattan lying like a jewel in history's diadem.
This is WOR New York. Stay tuned for Lester Smith and the news.